When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Core Show. That's right. This is Core, episode 196. It is Wednesday, October 16th. It's 2019. Yeah, I know. This month is like, gone. It's like it was here. It said, hey, I'm October. How you doing? I said, nice to meet you. And then it went that way. And suddenly it's the freaking 16th. I don't understand how that happened. But it's good to be here. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. I'm going to talk about the interesting discussion around and in the world of video games today. And we're going to start with, we're going to talk about Riot. We never talk about Riot. Riot games, they just don't come up. It's not a big deal for us because we're not really League fans. Or I mean, we don't really play League actively, I should say. Bo used to play a lot of League back in the day. But not so much since Heroes came out. That was their only game. We had 10 years of League of Legends, basically. And that's all they did. So for their 10-year anniversary, they announced a whole bunch of stuff, including... Well, basically, they announced... how do I put this?
Let's start with what they didn't announce.
Okay. What didn't they announce? You tell me. What did they not do?
They are not making a music or dance game, a rhythm game.
Okay. That's it. Everything else they announced.
Yeah, no tower defense specifically, even though that's a part of League of Legends already. You have to defend towers. Let's see, what else did they not announce? There's no dating sim. No dating sim, right. None of that. RTS, I guess they're not doing that either. You could argue that, you know, RTSs are now MOBAs anyway.
Yeah, League is the RTS, I'd say.
Yeah. And the world's biggest. What they did announce, though, is a couple of things. Let's talk about the one that jumped out at me the most, and the one I think it makes it actually kind of a unique announcement, because almost everything else they announce are things their competitors already make in some form or another. So in a weird way, they're just sort of saying, hey, us too, with these games based on our IP. But the one thing they're doing that nobody else is doing, and particularly something I've been wishing Blizzard would do for years, and they just haven't done it, and that is they're making... and producing it themselves, their own animated series for... Actually, I don't know who it's for. Is it for Netflix? Who's it for?
It's...
Are they just doing it themselves?
I think they said Netflix.
Okay.
I feel like I heard something about Netflix.
It's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could look this up, but...
Yeah, it's...
I'd have to open a browser window.
Don't do
at
that.
At the same time.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't... Here's the thing. I think they need to do this. Okay. I think, honestly, in a lot of ways, the video is the thing that I think is the most important, because all these other announcements, and I had people all over my timeline freaking out about it, and you know, it's exciting. People are, there's new games, and you know, it's coming from a studio that has a pedigree. You know, they have, yes, the League of Legends is huge, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm belittling that, but it is a niche game that they are top of the market for, right? That's the reality of it. It's a very big game, but it's still a niche kind of category that they have cornered. And so there is a pedigree there, but at the same time you say, hey, they're making a shooter. They're making a card game. They're making a fighting game. And I go, so what? Like, it really doesn't register with me because I don't have any passion or interest for League of Legends. None of that is interesting to me. Like, so I'm not in. It's not one of those things where, you know, if you say Star Wars or Marvel or DC or, you know, any of these other licenses where I'm like, oh, that's intriguing. League of Legends isn't a brand that I'm interested in. If they put out, say, an animated series and that gets a bunch of buzz and people are excited and into it, and I go, oh yeah, I guess I'll check that out. Why not? I'll put something on, and I end up liking it. Well, now all of a sudden those characters and that license that didn't mean anything to me suddenly now does mean something to me.
Sure. I get that. I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat, to be honest. When they announced the other stuff, I just sort of said, oh, well, okay, they're branching out. We knew they were going to because I don't know how long ago it's been, but Greg Street, formerly of Blizzard fame, Ghostcrawler, as he is known to the internet, was moved from League to unannounced stuff. And we didn't know what that was, and we just knew he was sort of, you know, spearheading all of that. And apparently this is it. It's actually multiple projects, and none of them are ready to launch, but they're all in the works, and they showed snippets of some of them. The shooter, I can't quite tell what I'm looking at there, but it's, you know, clearly some sort of...
Counter-Strike.
Yeah. And
it looked like Counter-Strike to me.
I mean, it did a little bit, but it clearly had some, you know, metaphysical stuff going on. Like, there, it didn't
seem... Yeah, it's like the Overwatch sort of... idea, Apex Legend, like where they have abilities, but that they really emphasize the competitive side of things,
right? And it's just hard to tell from what little they showed if we'd get super expensive or into it or not. I don't know why I said expensive. That word came out like Tourette's. That was weird. And then a fighting game, sure. I mean, again, that's a thing you have to kind of prove yourself with before anyone's going to give a shit. So. That one, I'm for me, it's, I can't get hyped about it. I just need to see what that is first before I can make any kind of judgment on it. And then, wasn't there kind of a weird looking Diablo-ish thing?
It's like 5 seconds and nothing formally discussed, just teasers of their Stitches like character, Blitzcrank, from an isometric perspective, smashing what looked like a Diablo-esque sort of scene, killing bad guys.
Right.
Unclear if it's like a Divinity style RPG or if it's a Diablo like game. It's unclear.
Right. They didn't really say. They announced a new character for League of Legends. I forgot her name. Hold on. Her name is Senna. She's a support character. Joins the 140 plus characters already in the game. She got a bunch of lore that I don't understand any of, so that's cool. Let's see. Teamfight Tactics coming to mobile. That was announced. I have some interest in that because I thought Teamfight Tactics was pretty fun. I played it for about a week and then kind of fell off, but I liked it. And would probably try that again in a mobile format. They're also making a card game. Yo, you like competitive card games, CCGs? Boy, do I have some news for you because they're making one of those. And that one's called Legends of Runeterra or Runeterra. Runeterra?
Runeterra.
All right. It's spelled with
I like to derisively call these card games like Hearthstone and Magic like JPEG brawlers. But these things really look like JPEGs. Like, when you put them on the table, they're all square and JPEG-y. Mm. And I was like, this is not impressive at all.
They're not. Like, those were not the kind of cards you want to keep in a deck in your bag. Like, they were ugly, ugly cards.
From what
I can tell.
But, you know, it's fine. People like those, so, you know.
Sure.
I think everything I'm going to say about this, if it's negative, I'm just going to put it out here that, like, I get that they have a large fan base, and there's people that are going to really enjoy this. They're probably going to put out a decent product in the end.
Yeah, so. They're pretty good team there. They know what they're doing. It says here it features characters from the League of Legends universe, while the gameplay is focused, quote, on dynamic, alternating combat that demands players use their skill, creativity, and cleverness to succeed. Cleverness. So that's that. And then League of Legends for console and mobile. It's called Wild Rift, though. So it's not League of Legends. It's like an adapted kind of...
It's Heroes of the Storm, but is there Heroes of the Storm mode?
Kind of, yeah.
The key thing that jumped out at me is like, it's League of Legends, but you know, those matches take 40 minutes. So we've made matches 15 to 20 minutes for people who have busy lives. And I'm like, that's the Heroes pitch.
Yep.
Every BlizzCon, we're trying to keep games to 20 minutes. That's why we can't do X.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, Riot has acquired enough Heroes of the Storm dev, artist, animator talent that they might as well just make Heroes of the Storm over there at this point. They're probably more familiar with that than League of Legends.
Yeah, why
actually,
not?
It's not a bad move if they want to pick up casual players. I think it's really smart.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm actually very interested in playing that on the go. As I think one of the only people on this show, I famously really enjoyed that weird thing that Tencent makes that's basically League on mobile. I forgot the name of it. Champion
Legend of Champions.
Champions of Heroes or whatever the shit it is.
Champions of Legends.
Isn't it Heroes Vale? Vale of Heroes?
No, it's something else. I can't. Arena of Valor, that's it.
It's Arena. All the same. Similar letters, yeah. Just in a different arrangement.
It really is just like the most Russian roulette naming scheme these days. But I enjoyed my time with that. It was fun to be able to do that sort of thing on the go. This sounds more in line with what I would even like more, like a trimmed down version of what League already is. Sounds like fun. So Wild Rift is a thing that's coming, and you're going to have an option to play that, I suppose. I didn't spend too much time talking about this TV show, this Arcane show. What makes it unique, I think, is that they're doing this whole thing themselves. They're not, as best I can tell, they're not contracting this stuff out. So this isn't someone with a license. This is like an internal team making an entire series for them, which is something I wish Blizzard would have done years ago or would do now or would do at all, because I think they would just own that space. And I also kind of thought for a while there, Blizzard had their cool, you know, they were really pushing their cool kind of middleware animation suite that they had built themselves that was sort of like somewhere between the fully rendered Sourfang level stuff and in game cinematics. It was like a middle ground, and they used it for a lot of the Heroes announcement trailers. They used it for stuff they do in Overwatch. And I was hoping that middleware was going to end up being a platform they could build entertainment products from. I really did think that. Like, that was my big bet, my big guess when they announced that. And kind of didn't happen. So could still, I suppose, but
it's not off the table. The thing about this, the timing of this Riot thing is like, it's pretty easy now to look at and go like, yeah, Blizzard's chips are down. And now Riot's launching everything, and they have all kinds of goodwill because they only have ever done one game. So everything's going to be amazing. And Blizzard could knock it out of the park.
Oh, they might. But here's the thing with
this. Like, they could be like Overwatch 2, and yes, here's your animated series to go along with the game.
The way I'd look at this is this, and I've said this to a couple people on Twitter, and I want to reiterate it here. For everybody out there that feels like they're doing some kind of valiant thing by quote unquote defecting from Blizzard to Riot because Riot had all these announcements, I have bad news for you. Because if you're leaving Blizzard because of adherence to Chinese political pressure, Riot is a 100% solely owned subsidiary of Tencent, which is a Chinese conglomerate. Yeah. So I'm just saying.
If anything, this is a celebration of the future of Chinese games.
Right. I mean, in a lot of ways it is. So for real, legit, like, knock that off or go ahead and, you know, boycott Blizzard. I guess that's fine. Do whatever you're going to do. But boy, am I tired of people on both extremes of that whole thing.
Yeah, it's just a weird take to be like, I'll show Blizzard, I'll defect, I'll, you know, just go play Riot stuff. They announce cool stuff. Like, that's a weird take. Like, I don't blame anybody who wants to play any of this new Riot stuff. There's some stuff in there that looks cool. I don't blame anybody that wants to be mad at Blizzard. That's totally fine, too. Play what you want. don't play what you don't want. You know, it's pretty easy. But if you're like, I'll show Blizzard, I'm mad at them. You're not making the point you think you're making by going and then supporting a Tencent owned company.
Yeah. The same company has something like a 4% stake in Blizzard. Blizzard's total Chinese revenue. I mean, the reason that this is all a problem is because they see growth. They don't just see what their current revenue is. If it was just 12%, which is all it is, and that was all it was ever going to be, Blizzard wouldn't take the stance they took. They see growth potential. In Riot's case, it's 100% Chinese. Like, they used to be not, but they sold and they're done. So that's a Chinese company. And y'all should just know the facts before you start being weird online.
Yeah. Just to underscore just a little bit, because I've been doing a bit of reading on this very subject. It's law in China right now that, oh no.
What?
They're cutting me off again because I'm talking about China.
He thinks he got silenced, but we can still hear him.
I can still hear you, Bo. Can you hear us?
I know. He could.
I am back.
No, look at him typing furiously. I mean, we could still hear you. You were fine. You only stopped yourself, really.
No. My connection went bad. I was reading that like private companies, it's the law now. You can't have private VPNs internally, and you're not allowed to have trade secrets anymore in that company. In the country. So like literally what Tencent and all that are up to is very open, you know, the government. So it's really is like top down China approved sort of business when you're talking about Riot.
It is. You want to get in bed with that stuff. I guess you just get in bed with it or whatever. I'm mad at Blizzard too, but I also just don't understand this like sudden love for Riot. It's weird.
This isn't the last story. Like, I think this was a lightning pole or whatever, or what are they? Lightning rod. Yeah.
Lightning rod. Pole. There you go.
It was a lightning rod and everyone can go kick Blizzard, but like this isn't the last you're going to hear about China and our disconnection, and it won't be Blizzard next time. Oh, it'll be someone at Riot who gets thrown in jail for some misunderstanding, but you know, whatever. I'm sure something like that'll come up again in the future.
Yep. Pretty much a guarantee. That's the way this stuff works. China's going to be China.
But the games look fun.
Yeah, the games look fun. I am interested in a number of these things. I want to see more about them because, honestly, they're too early on things like the fighting game or the shooter or even the card game for me to get excited. And some of the quick flash of other things they showed, I think, are just pure hype candy and not really anything to talk about yet. If anything, I'm most excited about the League Wild Rift version of the game and Teamfight Tactics on mobile, which I know, you know, not everyone's getting excited about mobile announcements, but I like what they do with that stuff. And I really like Teamfight Tactics and I would like to play that on the go. So yeah, bring it. Although yeah, their games in there are really long.
I just need to hear more first.
Yeah.
Because you know, League of Legends just being like, hey, it's League of Legends just doesn't do it for me. There's no connection with me to that brand, so I need to see why it's going to be a thing that I'm excited about first, and they haven't hit that yet for me.
I agree. Also, a thing we don't really get into here is Fortnite, and if we did...
It's big news for all the things we don't follow.
Right. There was a big deal for Fortnite players, also pissed a lot of them off, and then also got a whole lot of them super excited, but for like 3 days... Fortnite shut down, but they did it in like really epic sort of, no pun intended, epic fashion by having a giant wormhole open up and suck the world into it and left all the players floating in outer space, if that was even supposed to be outer space, staring at this black hole. And there it stayed.
It was more like a blue hole,
which is, interesting. It looked a little like a Heroes logo about to take form, but I knew that's not what it was. But anyway, that was a thing, and it was smart marketing because like national news people are covering it and talking about how mad the kids are and how come I can't get into my game, but also what is this? What are we doing? And now it's relaunched. It's a whole new map. I'm sure more things than that because I don't really follow the game, but I'm curious what you guys think of the event or that kind of stunt. Do you think that was a...
It's definitely stunts the word I was searching my brain for.
Yeah,
because essentially what they did is they turned server downtime into performance art.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to get right down to it, it wasn't a case of, oh, they had to complete challenges to unlock a thing. It was, no, they just took the game down for a couple days and made people get all frothy and excited and be like, oh, what's going on in Fortnite? Mm-hmm. Literally through the weekend, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they took it down on a Tuesday, you know, universal maintenance day. It was like, oh, you want to play this weekend, children? Too bad.
Yep.
We're going to do this thing instead. You're going to look at a wormhole. How do you feel about that?
And they've been doing these little hinty things all the time. Like, there's always something weird going on in that game. I heard there was like some sort of creature or alien or something that was leaving audio logs around the world that you could run into accidentally and just play an audio log. And it was like all talking about the future of the calamity that was coming or whatever. And they've been leading up to this for months, and that's kind of rad in some ways. I think that stuff's pretty cool. I would have been mad if I was a huge player to have me shut out of the game for 3 days and not really know. I mean, I would have figured it out and gone, oh, this is they're doing a thing. They're doing a bit here. But I couldn't just for 3 days, like, I'd be fried. I'd be pissed.
Right. Nobody knew how long it was going to be. It's not like they said, okay, we're going to be doing this thing for a couple days. It was just like, hey guys, the new season's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Wormhole, and people were like, what's going on? And Epic, being cheeky, like, deleted all their tweets and was just like, it's gone, it's empty. Like, they made it seem like there was nothing there anymore. Mm-hmm. And no information. And so you had people like literally streaming and just hanging out and watching for days. Just this stupid wormhole, just like, it's gonna be something any day now, it's gonna be something. And all it was no, servers are down. We're going to be back in a little bit, and we're gonna start playing again.
Yeah, it's a brand new map. It means a whole new thing.
Freaking thing.
Yeah, it means we got to be right. You know, they got to make sure all the tech's good. Like, this really was just a downtime event, but they really dressed it up to be more than that. And here's my question, because I didn't watch any of this. I know that there were like 72-hour streams where all they did was just sit there and stare at that blue thing and commentate on it, and then, you know, we'd try to stay up all night streaming. Did it come up for them, or did they have to re-log in? Like, how did that work? When it actually happened,
I don't know.
Because what would be cool is if they're just still watching that same blue hole, and then suddenly it just went, and then you're into the new world or whatever. But the practical mind on my head goes, well, wait, wouldn't they have to, like, log out, log in?
You have to download the updated client, right?
Yeah, get the client. All that stuff.
Because if they could do that, then they could just let them play the whole weekend. Right? Yeah. Right? It's still a stunt, which I think is the point. I think what you said about the stunt is a point. I just, you know, gas stations of the world, don't do what they did, because it won't work for you guys.
Yeah.
Close down for the weekend. People don't like that.
It's interesting, though. I mean, I think only Fortnite maybe could have gotten away with it, given how big they are. Because there was no way.
Yeah, you have to have I don't give a shit money in order to do something like this.
Not even the money. Mm-hmm. Not even the money, but the goodwill. Like, so, you know, if this was Blizzard, everyone would be like, China's controlling Blizzard, going to play League or Apex Legends. Like,
well,
for some reason, Fortnite's we forgive you.
I will say this. I have no idea on the veracity of this. I heard this from the one person I know who plays Fortnite. He said this to me. I didn't fact check him. I didn't follow up with any other questions. I believe my exact response was, ugh, China. But he said that the reason it was such an extended delay was the event in China had to take place and it delayed the whole thing.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true.
Could be.
I just want to make it clear. I'm not trying to spread that as a fact.
Well, here's what they could have done. They could have done this. They could have said, well, all right, we can put it in blue hole mode for as long as we need to. So if it doesn't go for a day, if it doesn't work out in the day we have planned, or something gets tanked in China or whatever, no problem. We can just let it roll. Let's let the blue hole stay. That's probably what they did, is my thinking. Yeah. So both things could be true. They basically, I'm learning how to talk again today for some reason, but they basically, you know, could have gone longer if they needed to. I'm sure there was some, you know, there at some point there's a cutoff for that. You can't go on forever. They couldn't go 2 weeks.
Maybe Twitch called them and asked them to dig longer. Just be like, hey, we're getting more views for your blue hole than your actual game. How long can you let this go for? We're billing advertisers off the
you know, we're getting a lot of revenue money from all these views.
Well, it's what Open Bayou in the chat says. It was the most watched event online in the U.S. 6 million plus viewers. Twitch averaged 25K live views during the downtime. So that's a lot. Like, just for downtime, that's crazy. I don't understand it. I think that game's
more
okay.
Games are going to go through patch notes. Sudden Heroes is going to go offline. We might get 5,000 viewers instead of 1,000.
Maybe. Is that all
we
get
these
days?
I mean, we're starting to see viral little events in Heroes now, actually.
That's true.
I think it's a cool thing. Like, I think teasing stuff in your game in that way is a super cool thing. I don't think maybe taking your game down in prime time and leaving it down for 3 days without telling anybody what's going on is great. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I missed most of the events in Fortnite. I played for a very tiny window, but I did see the robot fight the monster. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty cool thing. And I, you know, as much as I don't particularly care about Fortnite, I got to admit some of the events and things they do, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of rad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a part of me that wonders what Fortnite looks like, you know, in 10 years from now. Like, is it still even remotely close to the game it is, or is it now kind of more like an online world community where they go have concerts and weird shit like that? I don't know. They do bizarre things.
If I was
a horrific, depressing vision of the future,
it kind of is. But if it was me, I mean, here's how you get me back into Fortnite. Quit having the building stuff thing in there. I freaking hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it so much. It's the one thing.
It's the one thing.
Everything else is fine. There's lots of great reasons to play that game. A very fun, great, fun, shooty, fun game. No question. Get rid of the building. The building is terrible. I hate it. And some people are going to say, Scott, people love that. There's a reason it's in there. No, this is like Last Hit and MOBAs. It got stuck there because it happened to be in there before they knew what hit they had on their hands from the freaking Save the World mode that they never finished. So Fortnite was going to be this game where you just fended off zombies, and part of it was building shit. They kept it in for Battle Royale. They left it in. It wasn't some strategic, smart thing to do. It just was there. And then people started using it in ways that were like, well, now we can't take it out. It's a relic, and it should have been removed, just like those damn, just like Last Hit and MOBAs. Like, you don't need it. You don't have to have it. Freaking get rid of it. Ugh, I hate it. I hate the building.
I don't like any game where you shoot somebody, and instead of them reacting in a normal way, a friggin' tower forms in front of you. It's just, right, oh, there's a guy, and then just, and there's the thing up to the sky, and you're just like, what is going on?
Yeah,
this
sucks.
This is awful.
It sucks. I am sad to say, I'm looking for, here it is, I found it. Heroes of the Storm is nestled between Sims 4 and Red Dead Redemption 2. way down past things like Black Desert Online, Soul Calibur 6, more people are watching. More people are watching retro gaming stuff. Smite is about 14 spaces ahead of Heroes, not by a ton. There's just a lot in that range, but yeah, 1,700. That's not great. That would be. Yeah,
that's pretty much where it's been at since the canned HGC.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't love that.
It's not a heavily watched game.
No, not that Twitch should determine everything. I'm not a believer in that. I hate that, actually.
No. But it doesn't mean anything for games where it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it means everything to the games where it does matter.
Right. That's a good point.
Which is like 12 games.
Well, then are you excited about, I'm not going to say the second thing, but are you excited about Deathwing coming to Heroes? It seems like a pretty sure deal now that we think
they did add rings to the game.
Uh huh. What kind of rings? What are we calling those?
Mastery rings.
Okay.
They're called.
Okay.
And for the record, not my work. Where's the bus? I have to throw someone under it.
Nope, I wrote this one in the show notes because Bo described it as basically a ring for to give you E-peen.
Yeah, it's E-peen ring.
Basically to say, look how great I am. And I was like, all right, well, they have a name for that. They literally have a name for exactly that thing.
The higher level you are, the more ribbed your ring will be, literally. That's not a stretch.
And by ring, for those who don't know what we're saying, it's the like the thing below your feet.
Hitbox.
Yeah, your hitbox ring. So
the circle, hit circle, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's so when you hit no one's ever said hit sphere, hit circle before, hit circle. But can't it be those things?
Sure, it can.
Hit a skeletal hit circle.
There you go.
So the problem is, like, you know when you hit level 15, you get a new gold status, right? A new taunt.
Yeah.
25 and 50, 7,500. So each time you hit one of those, it's 5,000 gold to upgrade your ring.
Oh, you pay gold for that?
Oh, yeah.
It's like it's a gold sink, basically. Oh.
If you get your character to level 100, you'll be spending 25,000 in gold for the maximum ribbage on your ring. And it's cool anyway. This is a goal. I mean, some people have 300,000 gold, so I kind of don't blame them. And those people probably still won't buy this, honestly. But, yeah. It's in the game now. It's cool.
Guys like Kyle need a place to dump their gold, so this is it. But the Deathwing thing, why do we know that? Why is that a thing? How do we know?
So I played a few games last week, and at the start of the match, the lights went low, which hasn't really ever happened in this way in the game. Still invisible, but the lights go low. There is a red hue. The screen shakes, and there's a rumbling. It reminds one distinctly of when one played World of Warcraft Cataclysm, when you'd be in a random zone and the screen would darken and get black and shake.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there'll be a Deathwing thing for sure at BlizzCon.
Do you think?
For sure. Unless it gets pushed or whatever, it's been planned for this. There's an event in the game. Like, it's, I don't know if it's a map or a hero. There's a new Deathwing model. And so maybe that kind of looks like a Heroes of the Storm rendition of a cool Deathwing and not a Deathwing that looks like he's from Aladdin.
Right.
You know, so like, yeah, he just kind of got a cool set of armor on and stuff like that. He has that big top hat. John's making a face. I'm not being racist. Am I just
what are we talking about? What?
Raytheon.
Oh, Raytheon.
Not Deathwing. Oh, yeah, it's two different characters. Never mind. I'm the one on crack.
Oh, yeah, those are two different dudes.
They're two different characters.
Yeah.
Father and son, so
right,
understandable.
Oh, so confusion. He looks like a man, not a dragon.
Maybe
this model,
but
this new model in World of Warcraft. And
oh, right.
Oh, okay. You are talking.
I'm
about
thinking Raytheon. Raytheon. He kind of looks like Kira a little bit. He's got the you know, he's got a jungle hunter vibe going to him.
And, no, I'm with you now. I understand.
Apex Predator.
We're talking about Raytheon.
Right. Yeah. So I'm losing my point. So
we're talking about Raytheon in the story about Deathwing. No, I got it.
It's just Deathwing's coming. Okay, just leave me alone.
I'll bet it's an event and not a character. That's my bet.
Could be.
Yeah, because
either
one. If you think about it, that's kind of what he was in WoW anyway. It was kind of an event, you know. Expansion event. So,
but it could be. It could be two other things. Like I said, it could be Raytheon because maybe the event's Deathwing, but we get Raytheon as the hero.
Yeah.
And it also could just be who was released. Remember the Diablo tease when everyone thought it was Deathwing?
Oh,
But it was Genji. I was gay.
Genji.
So,
it wasn't
Genji. So all this is.
Wait, was it Genji?
Yeah, it was Genji and Diva.
Oh, right, because it looked like the claws on the symbol. It turned out they were Diablo claws. Right.
Now right. So it'll be something weird like Symmetra.
Yeah. That would be pretty funny. I would laugh at that.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see what happens there. Kind of excited about
exciting.
It, actually. Yeah.
Exciting. It's cool.
I like that stuff. And then also, Bo, you just wanted to make mention of this, and I think it's a good thing to mention. You've been messing around with MS-DOS games, which there are over 7,000 of them available at the Internet Archive, archive.org, and you can play them in a browser, which is pretty cool. Do you have any favorites? Do you have any recommendations you want to
put out there? I mean, the game that I really played, because it harkens back to playing with my little brother and sister, is Mixed Up Mother Goose.
Okay.
That's a DOS game? Basically, it's a Sierra Online game, so, you know, it's literally those pixelated backgrounds. You just walk around, you pick up all the nursery rhymes are missing a special item from their nursery rhyme, so you pick it up by walking over it, and then you deliver it to the nursery rhyme, and there's 18 of them.
Wow.
And that's it.
Okay.
It's all MIDI or MIDI, whichever you say, music, and it's a super old but it brings back lots of memories. So.
Well, I'm looking.
I played that.
I'm looking at. Oh, here we go. I'm actually running it on the screen for the chat room. The original
Mother Goose.
The original Prince of Persia.
No balls.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I can try.
You're
that
like, I'm gonna play a cool game.
I could try that other thing, but let's see. I'm just trying to see if I can get it to go. Oh yeah, look at this. Here's my little dude. Stand up. I have 60 minutes. There was a timer on Prince of Persia? I don't remember that. Oh my gosh.
I think there was actually for the whole. Yeah, that sounds right to me.
I don't remember that. Okay, well, get off the wall there, buddy. All right, so I'm just going to try this a little bit, see what we get. If I remember right, if you fell too far, there was real shit to pay. So you want to. Oh! Gosh, I fell too far. All right. Anyway, the point is 7,000 DOS games.
Yeah, listen to some of these games. You probably, if you're old enough, you'll remember it. Cross Country Canada, Jazz Jackrabbit, DuckTales: The Quest for Gold, Maniac Mansion.
Yeah.
Or Maniac Mansion.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, but by the way, all right. I'll continue with this list first. Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? There's another.
Yeah, I
big
played
one.
A little of that earlier.
Ski or Die. I remember that. Remember a game called Karateka?
Yeah, Karateka.
Karateka. I looked at this game and I'm like, I remember that game. I didn't have it. It was like a, you know, friend's brother, Paperboy 2. Like the list, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, 3D Lemmings. There's all kinds of D&D, Neuromancer, Forgotten Realms, Lucky Luke.
It's like, is there Doom and Quake and stuff on there or no?
Doom and Quake.
I'm playing Doom 2 right now, but I don't remember how to shoot.
In what?
Doom 2.
Oh, what?
It's not controlling the way I would expect.
Its spacebar is fire. Arrow buttons are movement.
Spacebar isn't doing anything.
Oh. Maybe it's tied to your mouse. I don't know if you can map that stuff or not.
Oh, it's so loud.
No, I don't think I played with mouse back in the day. I think it was full keyboard warrior. I think.
Has it got the music, John, and everything? Like, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. We're playing it.
Wow.
Except I can't shoot, so I'm afraid to move forward. All right, I'm done. Okay. Played Doom 2.
It's pretty cool.
Very loud. I was doing everything I could not to be yelling at you guys because I couldn't turn the volume up. Just, I'm playing Doom 2 right now.
Yep. And now Bo can find, even though now he doesn't have to worry about his friend having it, he can play Carrot Erotica by himself. It'll be great.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Carrot Erotica.
Yeah,
a classic
Carrot
game.
Erotica.
I saw a game on there that looked like it was erotica, so I tried it, and it was just a bad game.
What was it called? Do you have the name?
Some things don't change.
I think it's called Entity. Like, you'll Entity. Look at it, and like if you find it on that list, you'll know it, because it's the one that looks vaguely like porn.
Oh, all right. Sweet.
And I was like, well, I'm curious if they put porn on this website, so let's find out.
The DOS.
I don't know. I don't remember this game, but there's a game here called Suburban Commando. And Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that game's great. It's based on the movie. I shouldn't say it's great. It's bad. But it's great because it existed. The movie's terrible and the game is terrible, but it's kind of cool that they exist. But yeah, there's a Suburban Commando game to go with the Suburban Commando movie, which we did on FilmSack, and it's terrible. Terrible movie.
Right. Okay. So it's a tie-in. Yeah. Anyways, there's tons of games on here. 6,938 to be exact.
Is Stroker on there? You got Stroker in there by chance?
Stroker?
Yeah. That was a porn game. Chat room reminded me of it. Lord Shaper is mentioning it.
I see Leisure Suit Larry 2 goes looking for love.
Yep. That'll be a little porny a little bit.
I see that. So if you want that, you can have it.
What about
MS-DOS video game?
I mean, it was on the C64, says Lord Shaper in the chat. I don't remember if it was on DOS.
Bram Stoker's Dracula on this mess.
The porn edition. Is
it not Bram Stroker? Is it Stroker?
It's just called Stroker. Stroker all
oh,
by
good.
Itself.
I was wondering if it had the King's Quest games. I'm going to play those. I love the King's Quest games.
King's Quest games were awesome, and it would be great if there were new ones. I think there was supposed to. There was kind of a Kickstarter sort of new ones, and they're not great. They're not great. We get it. The guy's name is Stoker, Bram Stoker. The game is Stroker that we're looking for. We know. Anyway, there's a ton of those, so go watch those. There was one that was like a cowboy, and he shot stuff with his wiener. And I can't remember the name of this game, But it was like a cowboy.
You know, this sounds sad, but it sounds familiar. Really familiar.
Yeah, and at the end, you'd get home to your lady friend, and there'd be simulated pixel sex on the screen or something. I don't remember the name, though.
All right, chat room, someone find it and give us the title.
Yeah, let us know. This is an important. This is what
we need to peruse.
For. Yeah.
I'm having a hard time getting the sound shut off, so I need to stop opening these because they are so loud.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to bring up, too, because we did our little Riot coverage section, but we skipped one important game.
Oh, what's that?
We didn't talk about it at all, is that there's going to be a League of Legends esports team manager game.
Oh.
As well. Okay. You know, like Football Manager and...
Yeah.
So you manage your own esports team. They play in simulated matches of League of Legends. And I mean, I never really played a manager game.
You know, there's an element to that sounds kind of okay. Like,
sounds like a tycoon game a little bit.
Yeah, pretty much, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought, you know, when we say they really made every game except for these few genres, they really did. So.
There it
I
is.
I think a part of it is that it's simulating a thing that's already a video game, right? Like, right. It's not like, and then they're going to simulate football. Like, okay, well, that's football's a okay,
yeah,
but League of Legends is the actual computer game. They can simulate that a little better,
right? They totally can. You're right about that. That makes it kind of interesting above a sports simulator. But what I'm interested in is if it plays like a fun tycoon game where there's like drama about one of your players gets drunk, you know, in Singapore one night and can't make it the next morning to the game, so you gotta pull somebody from the backup bench. And you know,
one of them has a bad post-game interview, and mm-hmm. so you have to send him to the Chinese government.
Yep, you got
to
fire him and then put him in a prison, Chinese prison, all that stuff. Like, I'd be very curious.
Burn down South Park.
I want one where it's like a bad 80s movie manager where someone will always get hurt, and then it's your job to decide what person in the stands watching is going to come out onto the field and play in their place.
I can see that. Yeah.
What are we going to do? And then just a person stands up in the crowd. I will play.
You know what that makes me think of? I wonder if is it cyber baseball? You guys remember a baseball game on the NES where you played as robots?
Yes. Was called... Oh, what was that called? Okay, by the way, since we couldn't remember the other thing, get this one out of the way. Crimson Neon figured out that the cowboy shooting with his wiener and having the duty at the end is Custer's Revenge. Yeah. Custer's Revenge. All right, I'll bet that's probably in there. Now, what was the one you said? It's a baseball
NES game. NES baseball robots. That's going to be what I search.
Game robots. Okay, it looks like. Oh, here it is. Base Wars.
Yeah, that's got
to
be it.
It's called Cyber Stadium Series Base Wars, futuristically themed sports game released for the NES on June 1st, 1991.
That's the one.
Set in the 24th century, wherein baseball teams' owners have grown tired of paying outrageous salaries, they decided to replace their rosters with cyborg robots. This was the last NES game released by Ultra Games independently. Was it fun? That's the question.
I mean, I had a lot of fun with this game, and I'm looking at it right now going, man, this doesn't hold up to my memory of it.
Hmm. Says here, Entertainment Weekly at the time gave it a B- and wrote that despite the gimmick of mechanized players, the game played mostly like a human baseball game. So there's that.
Yeah, except, I mean, I'm watching combat from it. One robot at point blank is shooting a machine gun in the other robot's head. This is a 2-frame animation.
I mean, not that we needed to necessarily devolve into just, hey, remember this old game that I thought was really great, but this reminded me of a game from the NES days that nobody talks about, but the thing I remember about this game is my mom was hooked on it, and she played it religiously, called Robo Warrior on the NES.
I don't know what that is.
Was awesome and weird, and it's full of mechanics that I think nowadays everybody would hate.
Let me look that up here. There it is. Oh, I remember this art.
By Jalico.
Yeah, Jalico or Jalico. I think I always said Jalico, but I think you're actually right. It's Jalico.
Didn't Bill Cosby used to do promotional material for...
I remember it had like some really cool music or sound or something. I could be wrong.
He said, I love my Jalico pudding, he'd say.
And what you got to do is get the Jellicoe open.
So it says here, Robo Warrior. wait, okay, this is 88, 89. Oh, no, sorry, US came out in 88. Action Puzzler, Hudson Soft made it. Oh, it's part of the Bomberman series?
It looks like a Bomberman game. You know what? Bomberman is a hit with families.
People love Bomberman. Bomberman's great.
Really different, though.
Yeah.
It's not Mario and not these other things. Bomberman was the franchise that got more people to play a video game that would never play a video game than any other game in my experience.
We had many a thing happening in our house with that. Like people went crazy.
They liked it so much that they agreed. My parents, they and other family members agreed to buy. You know, they had a 4-player adapter for the NES Super NES.
Yeah,
they got it just because they wanted to play Super Bomberman.
Well, Super Bomberman was still maybe the best version of that game. I could hear an argument for the Saturn version was really good, like really good.
Yeah,
but I think I think it peaked at Super. That was a really good one.
Yeah, it's too bad because, like, I guess, are we hitting those kinds of peaks now with Nintendo Switch and stuff? Like, you know, really good 4-player experiences?
I mean, there's some, it seems more co-op-y these days, less competitive, but, like, my kids love playing Overcooked 2, 1 and 2. They love that.
Yeah, that's one. Actually, I played the Overcooked. Yeah, okay.
Those are really fun. And then apparently there's some new... I can't say apparently without thinking of that little kid anymore. Apparently, I can't do it. Anyway, you know the one where, I forgot the name of it. Anyway, you build little train tracks and you're supposed to work together to do it. It's basically Overcooked with some interesting stuff thrown in. That looks really neat. That may not actually be out yet, but Trine 4, yeah, that's another 4-player thing. Like, there's stuff. I mean, we're so deluded with games, I guarantee you. In fact, I already have on Steam downloaded right now 2 Bomberman ripoff games on Steam. That is like,
oh yeah,
20 people against 20 people, monster maps, huge freaking Bomberman games. It's crazy.
Well, when I think of Bomberman, I always think of like the multiplayer combat against each other stuff. This was a single player game, and like get it. I'm like, man, the mechanics in this game were really abusive to the player mechanics, where occasionally you had a limited light source and you would have to pick up a candle or you just couldn't see the map. Mm-hmm. You had limited bombs that you were working with, so you had to constantly be using them smartly or you would just get trapped and couldn't proceed. It's really a weird game, but it's very cool. I linked it so you can listen to some of the cool music of it.
Yeah.
Some point. It's a weird game. I want to play it again now.
Yeah. This stuff's good. How did we get here? What were we doing?
I don't know. We're talking about...
Well, we're talking about the 7,000 MS-DOS games available on the Internet Archive.
Right.
It's a treasure trove of nostalgia for me. Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is great. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. All right.
It's a treasure trove of nostalgia and pornographic games. Like sexy droids.
Yeah, sexy droids.
Oh, you've started finding the porn games. Mm-hmm. I see.
Well done. It'll always be with us, porn. Yeah, the porn never leaves. Now this. What we've been playing this week, I have been sucked back into Elder Scrolls Online hard, and I think I know why. So here's my explanation. First of all, I was a little ticked at Blizzard, didn't feel like playing WoW. I like me an MMO, my backup's always ESO, and I'm sucked back into it so hard I'm actually paying the $15 a month thing because I think it's worth it when you're playing that game hard. And I know what it is. I needed some story. I needed some RPG story. And I needed dark fantasy, not goblins with like little cars and shit. I want you know, dark wizardy, dark elf darkness, you know? And ESO.
Dark being the key.
Yeah. ESO has that stuff in spades. And because it's sometimes easy to forget this, but every single quest, even the dumbest of fetch quests, in that game are fully voiced on the front end and the back end of everything you do. So there's, and you have dialogue trees and all that stuff is in there. And more and more and more, what has happened to ESO, at least in my own head, and others have said this and I'll agree with them. To me, it is the Elder Scrolls that just happens to have people in it. That's really the difference. Like, I don't see any difference anymore. I don't see it as some watered-down MMO version of that space. They've taken this in so many cool places. There's so much freaking content. And the storylines are so cool and so satisfying to do. And they're big arcs. Like, oh, what did I do the other day? It was insane what I got to do the other day. Multiple things. They just, these big, long arcs with, like, crazy twists. It's very D&D. Taking me to crazy places graphically and visually. And all of it, again, is like super heavy duty, high quality voiceover work on all of it. I really got sucked in this time. So I'm going to be there for a while. I really like ESO a lot. I keep coming back to
it
anyway.
Do you think there'll ever be another Elder Scrolls since they're pouring so much love into the online?
Well, like we know there will be because they announced 6, but that's, we're talking years and years away because they're going to put out what's that space one called, John?
Starfield, something like that.
Starfield. So they're going to put out some sci-fi thing first.
Starfield.
And that thing's nowhere near ready to show. So I think this is it for a while. And, oh, man, so many cool storylines. Like, it's just scratching all my fantasy itches in ways that, and I'm not playing it like an MMO. I'm just playing this great RPG that just happens to have people in it. And also cooking's fun because the spec food is super useful. And I don't know. There's just a lot of stuff to do in that game. I like it a lot right now. I think Elder Scrolls Online.
Well, I guess that sort of serves the way you play it. When you quest, you want to solo. And so if the game's satisfying to solo, then that's even better, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind running dungeons and other stuff with people if they wanted to. And there's lots of public stuff I can do, but you know, if I'm going to go with friends, there's definitely content there that I wouldn't mind seeing. But for me, the real draw is that just this world's so lovingly laid out in every direction. And there's always somewhere to go and something to see and a place to go and a dude to talk to. And it's always interesting. And the races are, you know, crazy interesting. I used to hate the lizard people. But, man, they've got cool stories. What are they called? Not Anglicans. What are they called?
Argonians,
that's it.
Oh, Argonians.
Yeah, they have a very interesting backstory, and their land is super crazy, and their traditions are nuts, and they're crazy about
what
eggs.
What do you play as?
I'm playing a dark dark elf dragon. Oh, shit, what's it called? It doesn't matter, because I'm kind of playing him.
Dark elf dragon.
He's
dark
a dragon something. But I forget what it is because I don't really play him that way. I've actually specced a lot of stuff into his things like John would actually pick, which is weird. A lot of stealthy stuff.
Is he a dragon person?
No, he's a, what's it called, chat room? Sidian might know.
A Nord?
Dragonborn. Dragon warrior. Dragon knight. Dragon.
It's like that. It's like Dragon Knight.
Captain.
Might actually be Dragon Knight. It's not Dragonborn. That's a different Skyrim-y thing.
Is it like a human race? That's, you know, because they have all kinds of weird names for different.
No, this one's Dark Elf, and they're called Dark Elves.
Okay.
Yes, City in the Class.
Oh, Dwemer.
Is that it? I don't know. I forgot.
In Skyrim, the Dark Elves are not present, but you go into their... Actually, maybe they are.
They are. There's dragons.
Who are the Dwemer? The books you find, the old Dwemer.
I think that's another name for them. Like, I think it's like, you know, how Blood Elves can be called and other things. And
there it is. Dragon Knight. That's the class. So I use a bunch of passives. I use a bunch of class passives, but I mostly have specced into these like dual wielding specs, which are really fun. I'm really having fun. Plus you can switch, to other weapon types on the fly. So I also have a bunch of stuff specced into my bow. So for range, I'm bowing it up. And then when I get nice and personal, it's all, you know, out come these two knives and you go to town. I really like it. It's just cool. It's just dark fantasy, and I like that. I prefer that. It's my kind of jam when it comes to games, and I like it. ESO, good game. And then I did a thing John's going to laugh at me for.
John, that's all right. I got one of those on my list. So
okay. Oh, good. That makes me feel better. Have you heard of Doigamon, I think is how you say it.
I didn't see that in the name you wrote.
Doraemon? Uh-huh. It's some kind of anime that I've never seen.
Okay.
And it looks like a funny, goofy kid kind of anime. I don't know. But it's called Story of Seasons. And it's the people that used to do Harvest Moon and kind of invented that whole, like, I'm in this town and I'm making bank on growing potatoes and that whole thing. It's that. Yeah. It's that, but it's with these Doraemon people, cartoon, these anime characters I don't know at all. And
like a cat with no ears. And
yeah, there is a cat. You don't play him. He's just a friend of yours, I guess. I got sucked in because a bunch of fans said, you got to try this. It's going to scratch all your Animal Crossing slash what's the one? It was a big hit on PC and now on Switch and phones and everything. What's it called? Something Valley. Stardew Valley.
Stardew Valley.
Yeah, yeah, Stardew Valley. That kind of thing, but like with a bunch of like quality of life improvements and like improved inventory management, stuff like that. And people keep saying, oh, you got to try it. So I freaking did. And I went and got the demo first thinking, well, let's see. I'll test your theory, whether I'll like this or not. It's really good, and I'm totally into it, and this is all I want to do in bed is play this.
I love the look of this. This looks great.
Yeah, has an awesome...
Like, I don't like how the kid looks. He kind of looks like a goofus. And the cat looks wrong because he doesn't have ears, but other than that, like, the look of this game is amazing.
Yeah, it's like watercolor almost, the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, mechanically, it plays a lot like... Well, you guys know I like Animal Crossing, things like that. I'm a huge fan of that stuff. And it's definitely got that loop, right? Go to bed at the end of the night, wake up the next day, go out and harvest your freaking crops, take down a couple of trees, go into town, see what's going on in there, meet some dude. He's got a fishing job for you. There's some magic involved later where you get a door that lets you teleport anywhere you want to go. And like a bunch of weird stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's basically one of these. It's one of those. It's Harvest Moon. It's Stardew Valley. It's Animal Crossing. It's that kind of game. And I don't like it.
Because here's the...
Yeah.
Does it do relationships?
No. So those are the things I hate in those games. And by relationships...
I love in those games.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't like it when that's the focus.
Okay.
Stardew Valley is way too dependent on that. I hate that. I don't like having to go wine and dine everybody all the time. I kind of like the way they do it in Animal Crossing. They're not really the same games, but that has, you know, cursory relationship stuff. And this is a little more like that. It's less about really want to see if I can get into that lady's house and get her to marry me kind of thing. It's more like, I just need better prices for this bait so I can fish cheaper, you know, things like that. It's a little less involved, and that's more my jam. There may be meatier stuff there that I don't know about that you would love like that, but they're not making, I don't feel like being made to do it the way I was in Stardew Valley. So there's that.
Yeah. It's just with this being tied to a license thing, I'd imagine there wouldn't be much of a focus on that.
Right. And I don't even know how that stuff works over there. And I usually am not like, if somebody said, hey, did you hear about that new, game that's a lot like, Harvest Moon, but it's got SpongeBob in it. I'd go, no thanks. That sounds like shit. I don't want to play that. But because I don't know what this is, and apparently the game inside of it is really deep and good, I don't care about the tie-in. I actually kind of like the art. It's all right. I agree that one dude's a little jacked. It's his eyes, but it's really his glasses, I guess. He's got these giant glasses, little dots for eyes. But anyway,
well, he's got some pretty nerdy hair too.
Nobody
plastered to his head.
Nobody's quite nailed this genre 100% for me. This one may do it if I keep, you know, I'll keep going. I'll let you know what I think. But, you know, this is a relatively full price game, and I just plunked it after the demo. I liked it so much. So I don't know what's wrong with me. We'll see how that lasts. There's something, maybe something's wrong with me. All right. John's playing a game that I totally want to check out. I was talking to Bo about it earlier. I had no idea you'd played it. How is Disco Elysium?
Well, I bought it on your recommendation, so I haven't played it much.
Okay.
But although some would say that I had my turn at it. If all games were a hardcore mode and you played until you got game over, I'm done with it. Because I didn't last long in this world, as it turns out.
You died?
I died.
In the Noob Island?
I've played it for maybe 5 minutes and I permanently died. Back to the home screen died.
Wow. Why?
Did you pick hardcore mode or no save game mode? Or
nope. I don't know. Maybe if I go back in a second time, it'll explain something. But the game started and I was talking I was talking to my lizard brain and my limbic system. I was having a full dialogue conversation with those two parts of my body, and then I woke up and then I started getting dressed. I put on my pants and I put on my shirt and I got my tie, and then I futzed with the light bulb, and then they presented me with a choice on if I wanted to turn off the light or if I wanted to further futz with the light bulb. And I decided to just leave the light bulb on, and then I had a heart attack and died.
All right. I was here, I was thinking you're going to say you kept futzing with it and you shocked yourself and died, but...
No, apparently my character just didn't like the light being on and died.
Wow. I don't even know what to think about that. So apparently
did
the
you
big...
skip through a lot of dialogue?
Oh, there was a lot of dialogue. That was a thick, meaty 5 minutes in that game, because there was a lot of dialogue with my systems. I looked in the mirror and that was a whole event. Like, the game's so weird about like what it wants to get into. It's all, you look into the mirror and like it just shows my dude and he's just like, ah. He's just got this weird look on his face. And then it's like, what do you think of the face you see? And you can pick things like, it's the face of a superstar, or like, I hate what I see, or I want to shatter this mirror, I refuse to look. And I just kept saying things like, that's the face of a superstar. And it's like, are you sure? Can you move your face? Or is that the face you always make? And I'm like, face of a superstar doesn't change. And I'm just like picking all these stupid options, talking myself up. I don't know what purpose it served, except apparently as soon as the light was on, I died.
Well, this thing has dice rolls and actual decisions that make actual differences. My guess is you made a decision that gave you a heart attack or ended your life prematurely or something, because that's the whole... Everyone's raving about this thing, and they're saying part of what's great is the systems are just incredibly deep, and this is the first game... I talked to a friend, he says the first game where he felt like his decisions actually mattered. Every game claims that. It's like, make decisions that will affect you later. But none of them really do. And they say this one is like 100% every damn thing you do will lead to potential good, bad, ugly, you know, something.
Well, so you don't, there's no clue about the heart attack. It wasn't like, here, there's a pile of Tylenol. And you took the whole container of Tylenol.
Except I mean, was I was slightly warned that it was happening, because so I turned on the light and it was like something about it being really harsh and like my chest was pounding and all of that. And it was like, you should maybe turn it off. And clue. I was like, no, I'm going to leave it on. Like, the light's going to be on. And then it was like, it gets more intense. And I don't remember if I was prompted a second time or if it was just like, that was it, lights out. But. Yeah, I died.
I didn't realize having lights on gave you a heart attack, though.
Well, you know, I was in a rough spot. Apparently, I was like already kind of an undead-looking dude. So
I mean,
I take
it now that we've talked, I've asked you more questions and we've talked longer about it than you actually spent playing the game.
Pretty much, yeah. But it seems cool. It seems really neat. Yeah. I made a custom class. I was really into it. I was like, okay, how am I going to pick this? And there's little things like, so you don't even expect there to be a dice roll, but all of a sudden, like, I put on my pants and there was a dice roll, and it was like, you're perceptive enough to notice that the keys in your pants jingled when you pulled them up. So I had the keys to the front door without having to do a search or think about it or whatever. Because I heard the jingle pulling up my pants.
It's one of those DMs that make you roll for everything.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Just kidding.
You put your pants on. Make a roll. I could be. I'm open to feedback, man.
No, you do good.
Did I make you roll too much?
No.
I think
I'm joking.
It's all good. All right. Well, more on that later. It intrigues me. There's some weird cyberpunky elements to it. There's odd psychological weirdness to it. It seems like a very odd but cool thing. And it's just getting raves. Everybody's just like, oh, this game going to be on my short list for game of the year, blah, 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 that kind of talk. So I'm really curious how your time with it goes so that I can pull this trigger or not.
Yeah, I'm going to play more of it and I'll let you know. I'll probably talk a lot more about this next week when I have a better idea of what that game actually is. But okay.
It might be on Xbox Game Pass soon. Not yet.
Is there a list of like stuff coming to Game Pass? And I just
I'm just
don't know about
Googling it. And What's it called? Disco?
Disco Elysium. Not to be confused with that Elysium Battle Royale Chinese game that's on Steam.
You know what? I don't think it's coming to Xbox because like the pages that come up, it's like, oh, it has hits, but then it's all the ads and all over the place.
So, gotcha.
That's gross.
Yeah, that's gross.
No.
Game Pass. Sorry, I'm looking.
But you said it's not expensive. It's $40, right?
Yeah, it's not too bad. $39, right? No.
Yep.
Also, you said you played a shitty mobile game. What happened there?
Right. It wasn't awful, though. It was okay. I kind of got hooked on it. So my mom, notorious for wanting to just play obscure, weird, probably trying to steal money from you iPad games. She does it all the time.
Yeah.
And she does it while we're watching movies and stuff. And it's not uncommon for me to be sitting on the couch next to her. And mostly I just ignore them because I look over and she's playing like some slot machine looking thing with Game of Thrones characters or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, you do you, Mom. It's fine. But the other day I was over there and she showed me one where it's a bunch of like big columns of letters and you're supposed to find words within it. This game is called Word Stacks. At least that's what she told me when I said, hey, what was that game I played? So I think it's called Word Stacks.
I think my wife plays this. I think this is a wife game. Anyway, go ahead.
There's apparently words in the stacks. It makes up all the words. And, like, it's a set thing. Like, if you find a word that isn't one of the particular words, it'll give you credit, but it won't remove the word. And if you find the right word, it pulls it out, which shifts all the letters. And it's kind of a puzzle game, kind of tests your vocabulary at the same time. It's definitely a, like, hey, if you want a hint, we could maybe use some microtransactions, that sort of business.
Sure.
But I kind of got hooked on it, and I was like, oh, I'm playing a mobile game and kind of enjoying it.
Weird.
What? So I'm not going to download it. I asked her what it was called so I could talk about it on the show, and she's all, if you get it, I would recommend throwing down a couple bucks for the ad-free version. I was just like, Mom, I'm not going to buy this game.
I love that your mom is like that. She's pretty versed in this stuff. She knows what's going on with the mobile scene. I like it. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is she doing Apple Arcade? She should. She'd love it.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to, like, I feel like one day she's going to die and all of a sudden I'm going to have a huge bill because I'm going to find out she was like a whale for like a million cell companies. And my parents are like thousands of dollars in debt because she just kept paying microtransactions for apps.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not, too. I'm going to hope this for a long time.
Yeah. That's no good. Hopefully that's
I don't
good.
Think she's actually doing that. She's smart. She's savvy. I don't think that's going to be the case. But every time I look over and she's like playing some Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory thing, I'm like, they're just trying to get her money. That's all they're trying to do right now. She's not having fun.
Well, for someone who, you're very cautious of the whole world of free to play and, you know, mobile games and all of that. It's just kind of funny that your mom's like super into it. That's a very funny twist in the story. Didn't expect
it. Well, did you see that story? The people who made the Transformers mobile game were bragging that they had one customer who gave them $150,000.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Probably my mom.
Is she playing Transformers, is she, on mobile?
No. I've tried to get her into other games, but they haven't stuck. I tried to get her into Hearthstone for a period of time, but she just didn't seem interested in learning. So,
yeah, my wife plays only word games. She loves that kind of stuff, word puzzle games. So when you said this word stacks, it sounds familiar. I feel like she's played it. Could be wrong.
Yeah.
So,
last one I remember playing was Words with Friends. That really hit.
Yeah, that was big for a while. Remember that?
I liked that. That game was good. But then I just started assuming everybody was cheating.
Yeah, because there were apps you could download that were cheating. That were basically like it would you just put in all the letters that you had, and it would generate all your options for you. What was this from that I remember doing this somewhere? I was playing somebody. Oh, I know what it was. I was playing somebody in an office, head to head. They were just down the hall from me before I jumped out on my own. They were in this other room, and we were playing that game, and he was whipping me, and I was sure. I was pretty good at it, and I knew for sure he was up to something. So one of these times, I had sent my move, shoved my phone in my pocket. It was like a 3GS or whatever they were at the time. And I ran in the other room and swung open the door. And he's got up on his desktop this grid and all the letters. And he's like got some solver. Because you basically could just put this, put your, you duplicate your screen on the computer as it was on your phone with all the letters in the places that they were. And then when my change would come in, he'd add my thing. And then the thing would go, okay, well, your best bet is to do this giant word down here. Because his words were like, you know, discombobia flooper plaper tooper topper. Some crazy name that's like no way has ever heard it in his life.
Mons pubis.
Mons pubis. So I go kick the door in and I'm going, dude, you freaking cheater. He's like, what are you talking about? And he like control alt deleted his computer. He's a freaking bastard.
Boss key. He needs to learn to have a boss key.
Yeah. That guy owes me 80 grand too. That's the other sad thing. I don't want
to wow, that's a lot of money to just have someone owe you.
He owes me $80,000 for a contract of 18 month contract that he never paid up on. And I was so so pissed.
Good Lord.
And I would have tried to sue him, but they have beef. They have no money, so suing him was useless. Anyway, that came years later.
I got stiff for a couple of grand on a work gig, but not 80 grand.
Yeah, jeez. it was bad. It was like a year plus worth of money, and he was like I should have known when he was cheating at words with friends or whatever.
That's what they say. Cheats at words with friends, cheats on deals.
Bastard.
That's just a...
Cheats on friends.
Cheats on friends, yeah. All right. What else here? Oh, you've been... Well, you've been like looking for clothes in World of Warcraft. Is that what you've been up to?
There? Yeah, that's pretty much. I've just been going through all the old dungeons getting outfits. That's all I'm doing. And I just... Every time I end hours of playing, I just stop and I go, what am I doing?
You could be over there with me hearing some really good stories right now. You know, for a while until we get a good story back from, you know, World of Warcraft. But right now, ESO is telling me some great little tales and I can go and get some
Instead,
clothes.
Instead, I'm treating old dungeons like trips to the Gap.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you got, big giant monster? Let me just dig through you and see what I found in here. Oh, a hat.
Yep. Thanks for the hat. Already had this one. All right. Well, see you next time. It's Lightning King or whatever your name is. I'll be back.
I fought him yesterday.
Who?
Those friggin' snails in that dungeon. Still a threat.
Did you die?
Yeah.
What did they do? I don't remember. They would follow you down.
They touched me and I died. That's it. I ran around the corner. There was a snail right there and I went, oh, and it touched me. And that was the end of my character. My level 120 character.
Wow.
Dead instantly because of a snail around.
Whereas everything else is one shot. What, Bo?
Well, there's some soloable content from old content that isn't soloable because of the mechanics.
Right.
I learned that in the Siege of Orgrimmar raid, but only too late after I spent an hour going through most of it and being like, God, I can't get any further. It's like right at the front door or something. I never did the raid. I didn't play through that expansion, I don't think. So I was going through just to check it out and I got stuck and then I quit.
Yeah. My memory is that one needs more people. I don't know if you can solo that one, actually.
You can solo it, but it's weird. The one that's hard is the Galakras fight, because you have to be down on the ground fighting stuff, then you have to run up in the tower by yourself, then you have to shoot the dragon by yourself, then run back down to the ground and defend the beach. Like, you can do it by yourself, but it makes you earn it.
Yeah.
That one's probably the weirdest one of the bunch.
Yeah. Boy, that was, feels like yesterday, but I guess that's been a while now. What was that, 2014 we were finishing that out? Yeah, no.
Yeah, something like that. I think that was where I started raiding with you guys.
Oh, interesting. See, I always thought I came into the group and you were already there. I didn't realize.
Could be. I think we alternated every now and then because it was always the same team, but sometimes you were there, sometimes I wasn't, and vice versa.
Dragger AZ says not hard with a hunter. Okay, well, maybe I could do it. I don't even know why I care. I don't want to do it right now. I'm being read a book by the lovely people of Tamriel. They're just reading me nice stories, and that's what I'm going to do for a while. All right, Bo, what have you been up to? Anything cool other than DOS games on Archive?
No, I haven't really played any video games the past few weeks. Got a couple Heroes games. I played some DOS games today. That's when I discovered this thing.
Is this the first time in a long time where it's been that quiet of a game week for you?
First time, as long as I can remember, not playing a game in a single week, and also being on, you know, vacation from the day job, which is kind of prime time to play video games. Didn't play it, but a lot of that had to do with recent events and gaming culture kind of just put me in a funk, I think.
Yeah, it made me pretty sour, too. I'm with you. I felt that, too. And I kind of, had a couple days there where I was like,
Without even getting into the particulars of it, it's been just kind of a turnoff, to be honest with you. So I've just been doing other things.
I think that's okay once in a while. I think there's nothing wrong with that. And I also think it's good for us to evaluate our relationship with gaming once in a while and sort of think about what we want to support, what we don't.
It was also my birthday last week, and which I don't think we talked about here.
Yes.
So I had
happy birthday, Bo. Yeah.
Happiest birthdays.
We did, but you just said we didn't talk about it here, so I figured,
we aired the show on my birthday. What am I doing?
Yeah, we had your birthday last
week. By the way, guys, it was my birthday last week on the day we did the last show.
Congratulations. It was your birthday, and you are still the birthday boy.
But my point in bringing it up, not it was to get the lovely sound, but thank you. Was just to say that, like, I've turned into an instant curmudgeon. It might just be a result of turning 40, and it'll smooth over after a few weeks, you know, to get back to myself.
Right.
I don't know, like, on what level of not consciousness, like subconsciousness, I'm just kind of going through my things. So,
yeah.
It'll be a bit of that, too.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I think I got a sty the other day, and my eye is killing me.
Oh, it doesn't make me feel better.
I don't know how
if it makes you feel better, cancer.
If it didn't itch so bad, oh my gosh, I feel like I want to claw my eye out, but I know it'll make it worse if I touch it. I don't want to touch it.
Oh yeah? Well, if it makes you all feel better, I'm a ghost.
What? I'm watching The Conjuring. If that makes you feel any better as a ghost, because that's about ghosts.
Makes me uncomfortable, honestly.
I didn't know what to, let me just say a thing about that. It was like a huge hit, right? The Conjuring was a big deal. And I didn't see it. So this is just me finally seeing it. I'm watching a lot of Halloween movies this month because, you know, Halloween. I like doing that. Mm-hmm. And had seen some good ones, saw this. And I think I have a problem with haunted house movies. And it goes like this. It's not that they can't be scary. They certainly can. And there are definitely moments in a lot of good ones where they scare me and it's great. But I spend so much time fighting and farting around in my head about the rules of haunted houses that I think I get way too in my head canon and I can't actually enjoy it. Because at least with like zombies or vampires, depending even on the kind of zombie or vampire you're going to do a movie about, you have your rules, right? Maybe yours can be outside, but they're sparkly. Or maybe yours can't be outside in the sun, but they don't have to ask to come in, but maybe in yours they do have to ask to come in. But the point is that you establish those in your film and then the rules are adhered to by the vampires, the zombies, the whatever supernatural things. I don't think anyone's gotten together in a room and said, all right, we need to just settle on what are the rules of a haunted house. Because it's all over the damn place. Can they physically interact with the world or can't they? Can you see them or can you not see them? Is that laughter coming from a ghost? Okay, that means you can hear him. Well, why is that one over there screaming with his mouth open, but you can't hear a damn thing? And why can only she see him, but the other guy can't see him? Like, I don't like how mishmashy and all over the place horror movies are. Haunted house specifically. I don't like it. The only haunted house thing I've liked recently was that thing last year on Netflix called The Haunting of Hill House. That was rad. I loved that whole show. That was really good. But that was mostly because it was great family drama with really incredible relationship stuff that just happened to be connected to this haunted house thing.
So I have cross-examination.
Go, please. I'm going to allow it. Go. Yeah.
I'd like to know, is it that you do you not find them scary when they don't obey the rules or you get frustrated and you're so busy being frustrated you're not watching the movie anymore? Is that...
Well, part of it is they'll do a thing and I'll go, oh, okay, your rule is invisible forces can physically grab you and move you around. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then another scene will come up where that gets contradicted in some way. And I go, well, then what was the thing? Then I start spinning wheels and I can't enjoy the film after that. because it just seems like they just don't settle on what the freaking rules are. Like, just
So I was just wondering if it was on a per movie basis or if it was, you know, zombies are pretty consistent. You got your fast ones and your slow ones.
Right.
But they're pretty consistent, right? The Zombie Association gets together, figures out the standards and practices for the industry as zombies. And you're saying it's a haunted house association.
Yeah. The haunted homeowners
organization in shambles.
Yeah.
The HHMO. I'm looking for HHMO to tell me, the haunted house owners association, to come tell me what the hell these rules are so that I can stop thinking about it. Because then I just start, it's like time travel movies. I have the same problem there. It's like, set up your rules so that I'm convinced you got this figured out and now play within your rules. Even if the rules aren't perfect, it's okay. At least I know the limits of this space so that now I get it. Like, what can the house do? What can't it do? And don't change what it can do midstream. I know it's a dumb thing and I shouldn't get wrapped up in it, but it annoys me.
No, it's not dumb, but my mind is now at it. I'm so glad that my rules are so difficult to understand when it comes to our D&D game that it won't make you mad.
No, your rules are great because, you know, you have to not
I think I'm still following them, but the moment I'm like, these time travel rules suck. Bo, you're off the DMG.
Bo circumvented the rules for time travel by basically saying, like, it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all you got to do is go, hey, man, it's crazy.
Right.
And then you go, well, yeah, you know, he said the rule was it's crazy. And it turns out.
And it is. Yeah, it's okay. On. Exactly. And we have fun with that. So I don't have a problem with that. I just need these movies to freaking pick it.
So Vampire is consistent.
Mostly. Yeah. I mean, at least per movie they are. I'm not saying as a complete
you
genre.
You expect
it is.
Some nuance, right? But you don't expect, you know, it's not a, what do people say? It's not a jungle in here. What is it? What do they say? They say
it's not a jungle in here.
It's a civilization, people.
Oh, or, you know, George Costanza.
We
live in a society. Like, you know, that's how I picture yelling at the haunted house movie. Like, just like, what is this movie?
I feel like it because there are moments of brilliance. You're like, oh, that was a really cool idea. But then my brain goes, yeah, but that kind of breaks the rule earlier that they said they couldn't do. And I just get frustrated. It feels like it's too fluid.
Are there other tropes or genres that do this besides time travel?
I mean, time travel, haunted houses, and that's probably it. Like, one of the things I love
Predators
about the...
Predators are pretty consistent.
Which one? What'd you say?
Predators.
Oh, yeah Predator totally. Movies. Totally. Predator consistent. Movies and movies like Predator.
Yeah, but they keep adding
movies.
To it in a dumb way. Like, that's the only thing I don't like about Predator is they made, like, the coolest creature ever, and now they feel like they have to constantly try to one-up it. And it's like, guys, no, you had it right. Stop it.
Yeah.
They're like, well, this Predator is a bigger Predator.
Well, and this is part of the problem is, like, sometimes your rules are too narrow, and you made it a brilliant thing within those rules, but then I don't think you should try to make six more. I think you're probably good with one or two. So that's an example of that. But one of the things I love about the purity of Mad Max Fury Road is that it's so established what it is without telling me, and then it lives within that space. So it says, Bullet Town's that way, Gas Town's this way, we're riding in these cars, there's dudes on sticks, watch out for them. Like, you just know what the shit's going on. The smart son's the little shriveled up one that came out wrong. The dumb son's super buff but too stupid to know it. The dad is just trying to find an heir, and he's milking all these ladies for all they got, literally, because that truck's full of milk. Like, it's all weird stuff, but it fits the rules of the world, and I love that.
I want to tell you something funny is that, you know, I'm having call problems today, so I sporadically cut out.
Yeah.
So I asked you the question. You were talking about genres, you know. Yeah. And then I cut out for a solid minute, and I come back, and it's like, Mad Max Fury Road. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you, as somebody who heard the A to B to C, it was still pretty much just as abrupt without the cutout. He was like, let me tell you about the rules of haunted houses. Haunted houses are dumb. Like, Fury Road, let's talk about that. Like, it's just...
I
want to say, though, he's right about Fury Road.
Like, yeah, I am right. I always say that. No one believes me, but it's true. And there's a purity to it, but I like that. I like that, my fiction. I wish there was
Wasteland punks are a trope, though, and they're not all the same, right?
No. I mean,
Borderlands and Enrage.
Yeah, but you could argue that George Miller gave everyone that stuff, so they're just doing stuff with his ideas.
His blueprint.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. The Wasteland Association is enforcing the rules.
Right.
The haunted house people.
Right.
They need to start paying their member dues so they can hire the person who leads the association, the chairman.
Yeah, but I look at it as a haunted house is like an Avengers movie. Like, that's where all the evil congregates.
Okay.
Like, Dracula's got his own story, and vampires are also Dracula's. Mummies have their own story. Zombies have their own story. Like, all these things kind of have their own isolated things. But in a haunted house, that's where it all comes together. That's where they unite. So anything goes because everybody's together. In
right.
One spot,
right.
Potentially.
Yeah. No, you've nailed it. I think you got it. All right. Yeah. Moving on. What should we do now? Oh, I know. Hold on. I know. Wait. I keep saying I'm going to play this.
That's a good question.
Time for emails. That's right. Two emails this week that came to us at core. Frogpants.com/core. Just use the contact link up there and send us your emails. We got these two from listeners. This one from Andrew Gardner, who says, "Hey, Scott, for me, I think a solution for game review problems could be solved by up to 10 hours of free trial of games." Depends on how long your game is. Anyway.
I could finish some games 10 times in that amount of time.
Right. You could do two Call of Duty campaigns in 10 hours. So I don't know if this works. Maybe percentage is the way to do it. But anyway, then they could even make them cloud-based to stop download times and a bit of discount in the game on loot or whatever if you do the trial before you purchase the game. Just a thought. Thanks for all the work you do. I listen to most of your podcasts keeping me company during night shifts. Well, Andrew, it's an interesting idea. I mean, your thinking is that it's not so much the review problem from the reviewer's point of view. They're getting free codes of the full game. What he's saying is he would like to get the first 10 hours of Skyrim, let's say, so that he can see for himself how that is. Here's my take on that. Way too many people would at 10 hours drop off. Not because they're bored, but because 10 hours into a game feels like you have played a lot. And if you're now suddenly told, well, not to keep going, you got to pay $59. I think you're too deep in. I think you're going to feel like you've got enough and you don't need to pay more. I think that's too much.
I do really like the idea of using the cloud-based as a way to try games, though.
Yeah,
I think that's a super cool idea. I think 10 hours is way too much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe letting somebody play a game for 30 minutes or an hour and just say, yeah, get in there and try it. And you don't have to go to a store. You don't have to buy it, anything like that. Just boot it up. Play it. I think that's a neat idea.
Mm-hmm. We could bring back shareware. I think the only reason shareware doesn't exist anymore, it's probably a lot of reasons, but the install sizes are huge, just even for like a first level. Like, play the first level of Uncharted, it's still like 30 gigs or something, probably ridiculous, right?
It's so big, sure.
The streaming, the cloud-based stuff could make shareware a thing. Like, play the first level of this game and see if you like it. I think I would hope that would come back.
Yeah, I'll bet it does, actually. I think it will, because why not? A tech will immediately allow for it and in a way that's super easy and accessible. So, I think there's some wisdom to that. 10 hours, no way that's ever going to happen, though. Not a chance.
It's too long.
I don't care how long the game is. 10 hours is just... 10 hours is almost too long for most single-player games for me anyway. Like, if I'm going past 10 hours, it needs to be a big old RPG or something. But if it's like a story-based game and you can't tell your story in 10 hours, what are we doing?
Well, Scott, get ready for Red Dead Redemption 2 coming to the PC soon, where 10 hours covers getting off your horse.
Oh, forgot about that. That's coming soon. I'm very excited. Very excited about that. Second email is from Jordan M., who has a cyberpunk comment. He says, "Hey, Joe, Bot, and Scon." I don't know what that is.
It's a fun play on all our names.
I guess so.
Scone, maybe, right?
Scone? Scone.
Well, it'd be Scon because John, because it's Scott with my, anyway.
Yeah, Scott and John, Bot is Scott and Bo, and Joe is John and Bo. Yeah. Yeah, he just mixed all our names together. That's what it was. Anyway.
And misspelled most of them.
Yeah, pretty much all of it. He says this, "I need some advice. Cyberpunk already looks pretty hype, but I'm worried about getting it. Some backstory. When Red Dead 1 came out, I played it a little bit, and then it wasn't my style, so I dropped it." Man, I played that right to the finish. I love that game so much. Fast forward to Red Dead 2. Super hyped. I bought it day one and played like 10 hours before I got bored of it. Oh, there's your guy. There's your 10-hour guy.
He got off the horse and was done.
I didn't mean to put these two
That's
emails
hilarious.
In.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I didn't mean to do that.
First emailer guy, you got to see that we weren't just picking on you or anything. This is a professional opinion.
Yeah, this is legit.
Yeah, this is actually two unrelated emails that are all talking about 10 hours.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. It's
crazy.
That's
anyway, it says, really I recently weird. Purchased The Witcher 3 after hearing so much hype and played about 10 hours before dropping it. I thought the gameplay was fun, but not being attached to any characters... I was not invested in what was going on. Not sure if I would regret the purchase. Any advice would help. Thanks. I think that he may be in for some trouble. I think that he's one of these people. 10 hours is enough for you, and any more than that feels like too much. So if you get super hyped and you buy Cyberpunk 77 or whatever, not 77, Cyberpunk 70, what?
Cyberpunk 2077.
2077. If you buy that and you get 10 hours in, you might bounce. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I wish he included a list of games he did like. That's something I feel like is important here because, you know, I can see a pattern. You know, you're not into these immersive kind of open world, long form role play element type games. And so I would also say, yeah, be concerned about Cyberpunk 2077. It doesn't sounds like you might have problems with it. But I would be curious what examples of games. Well, I did like to see how those compare to it.
What he's saying. Okay. Maybe I missed part of the email. He's saying that I thought maybe he was asking about The Witcher and if it was good, but he dropped off after 10 hours.
He's asking about Cyberpunk. He's saying he played a little Witcher 3 after hearing so much hype. Yeah. And he played for 10 hours and dropped it.
Yeah, he said basically saying
it was fun, but not attached.
Yeah,
I would say that would make sense for Witcher 3. Like, I mean, I really think Witcher 3 is a great game, but I play it in 10 hour spurts. Like after 10 hours, it's just more like there's mostly talking and exploration in that game. The battle combat system is not, I don't think it's very great in Witcher 3. It's still a great game. But, you know, sometimes I'm so OP for everything. Like, it's putting me to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I still enjoy the game. So I tend to play that in spurts. I still have it installed on my system. I'm maybe 80 hours in. I haven't finished the main campaign yet. There's so much to do. And it doesn't feel like it's a lot, but it burns through time quite easily.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to a time when I'm going to load that up and get another 10 hours in. So I would look at it that way and don't think maybe there's something wrong with me or the game. I think it's just hard to just sit there and play for like 78 hours straight.
Right. These are also huge open world games. I would spend time mainlining the games instead of getting distracted by side quests. Those can feel like you're just giving yourself so much work that you'll never get done, and it can have kind of an effect on you after a while. So try mainlining.
And sometimes you just have to crave it, right? Mm-hmm. Like I heard so many great things about Fallout 3. And I tried it and hated it, and I tried it and hated it, and tried it and hated it. And then a year went by. It had been out for a year. They put out everything all in one pack or something like that, or new DLC was only just coming out. But it had been a year since that game came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got in the mood to be playing that sort of game. And I dove in, and it went from a game that I couldn't stand to a game that I loved. And to this day, I still love Fallout 3. It's one of my favorite game experiences ever. And it's just because rather than playing it because it's when the game came out and that's when I'm supposed to be into it, I played it when I actually wanted to be playing it. Mm-hmm. And that can make a huge difference, as silly as it is to say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel that way too. I think I feel that way. It depends on the game, but sometimes I come back late. Like this Batman game, I am still playing that. I haven't touched it in a couple of days, but yeah, I kind of didn't give it the time it deserved in 2015, and so now I feel like I'm playing a whole new game, and in some ways that's very exciting. So don't worry about the latest greatest and riding the hype wave. Sometimes just chilling out and waiting for the next thing is the way to go. Great emails though. Thank you guys for sending those. Awesome stuff as always. I think it's going to do it for the show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week with more, of course, right here at the Core Show. you'd like to follow us around the world and see what we're doing, you can find us on Twitter, John_Jagger. I'm at Scott Johnson. Bo is at Bo Schwartz. You can follow the show at Core Pod, and you can find us online at frogpants.com/core. You can also support us, patreon.com/core show. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You heard me right. Cool stuff going on over there. Want your own Dear Martha letter in the mail? Handwritten by John. Well, not handwritten. Written, and then we print them. yeah. From John. Then join up. That's just one of the great benefits of our Patreon. That's patreon.com/core show. Consider supporting us today. I think it's going to do it.
I'm really proud of the last Dear Martha letter. Sorry to interrupt the exit.
It was very good. Yeah, it was very good. I agree. I think people should not want to miss out on that. So don't, and go in there and get it. Also, let's have some final words of wisdom from the panel here. Bo, what are you going to leave the people with this week?
You know, I prepared it, and now I've forgotten what it's going to be.
Really? You had a prepared thing?
That's well, awesome. You've been asking for these words, so I'm like, I'm usually just reaching, and I didn't want that to be the case, but of course it's the case.
Yeah.
I don't know. Get a VPN and a password manager. Or not a VPN. Get a password manager and what's the other thing I need to do?
Yeah, the VPN thing's good for Chinese stuff. Is that why? Because you've been reading all this China stuff?
Oh, well, yeah, VPN. No, no. Password manager and antivirus.
Oh, antivirus. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah. Get those.
I did that today.
I mean, VPN too, but it wasn't. I was thinking more of the other things.
Sure. Yeah. I understand completely.
Stop hacking my WordPress site, hackers.
Yeah, you hacker, backer, lackers. John, anything?
That's quite a treasure you have in your VPN. That will keep you safe from all those nefarious demons trying to get into your computer.
Oh, that reminds me.
Don't let them.
This is what we should do. Next week, we should do BlizzCon predictions, even though things are weird. With Blizzard at the moment, I still think it'd be worth doing. We should talk just what we think they're going to get up and do and what we think is important in light of this stuff in terms of like really knocking it out of the park and that sort of stuff.
But I would love nothing better than to end up in the hospital because I'm so blown away. I'm going to take the Friday off, going to buy the BlizzCon package.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and enjoy it and hopefully, I don't know, man, new Diablo. If it's indeed true.
Yeah, that's a big one. And if you're off that day, we'll have to talk because I might do a BlizzCon kind of stream.
Hey Scott,
are you off that day too?
Also off that day.
Oh, okay. Then we're bringing everybody.
Did you hear something, Scott?
I'm going to BlizzCon.
I know you're not going.
So I might be available.
I think maybe we need to switch it back to US West. So we're getting crosstalk on another call.
I'm gonna be there out front with a sign that says Diablo is no laughing matter. You all should be ashamed.
You should cosplay as Deckard the Cain and say, I don't look like this man, and hold up a poster.
You should. No, you should just, say.
No one will get it because you don't look like him.
Hold a yellow sign that says, God hates Nephilim or something dumb like that. Or Imperius hates Nephilim or something. That would be great. Why not that? Anyway.
I talked to him. Before I was slain by butterflies. Do you know how embarrassing it is to survive 3 games only to die from freaking butterflies?
I need to do an interview series.
You think with X-Pac 3 they intended to bring him back?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so. You gotta bring him back.
Yes. Or 2, X-Pac 2.
Yeah. They knew what they were doing. They had to bring a stupid book of his just to justify him not being there. Like, well, his book's there, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of agree. He would have been back.
And you find scrolls all over the place. I left this in case you find a monster.
Yeah, they screwed us on that deal. Those bastards.
Well, I mean, it could be the whole plot of 4 would be the resurrection of Cain.
It could be. You know, it could be called Cain's rebirth. No, Cain's...
Would he come back as an old man, though? Because, like, how annoyed would you be if, like, a young Deckard Cain showed up and he's just like... Hey, how's it going? I'm Deckard Cain. I'm going to tell you about some stuff. He's not My whole voice changed. Yeah. This is how I sound now. Deal with it.
He's Scottish.
I think if they did it right, they could get away with it.
All right. Well, soon enough, we got like a week and a half, and then we'll find out.
You're making me like Anduin, so
I like
anything's
Anduin.
Possible.
I like Anduin. All right. That'll be next week right here on The Core Show. Again, come on back and listen to us. We're live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. No, 9 p.m. Eastern. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.